Guys. Praise the Lord. Are you all sitting comfortably? When I began at prep in the book of Thessalonians, I felt I knew what I was doing. And I did, till I kind of got to chapter 3, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks a little bit regarding which I saw as the topic matter for this today. It's not the most encouraging topic matter, but nonetheless it is the Word of God. So today we find ourselves in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, and Paul in here, he's actually explaining to the Thessalonians that he sent Timothy to them because he just couldn't wait to hear the news about them. Paul hears about them and is writing this letter in direct response to everything that Timothy shared about the Thessalonians. He is thankful, he is encouraged, he appreciates the love and care they have for one another. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's check out what it says here in this chapter. And we'll read the whole chapter because we have to get this in context for what is taking place. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is a brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. Let me read that line again regarding these trials. For you know quite well that you are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way as well, you know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might be in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and about your love. Amen. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, listen to this. In all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, in verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Verse 13, may he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes for all his holy ones. Amen. In the midst of this very personal letter to these believers, Paul is reflecting that everything has not gone well for him or them, even though good is happening, the gospel is spreading. Now we know this passage has a word, this is down to your translation, it has a word that is repeated 3 times, and we know when the Bible repeats itself, we must pay attention. Repetition always shows us some importance. Also in verse 7, we see that magic word again, therefore. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. As for students of the Word of God, we need to examine what therefore is there for. Check out these 3 verses. They're of massive importance to us today. Verse 3, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. Verse 4, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. Verse 7, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged. The Greek word in the original scripture is thlipsis, and it means affliction, anguish, burdened, or tribulation. All incredibly heavy words. Because we must understand this situation today can be just the same for you and I. This is not just a spot of bother. This isn't just a wee bit hassle they are getting. The word has its root, a word that means hard pressed, and also is related to the word to wear away a path. These trials and distress are something that wears and wears and wears and wears until we are worn out. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? I've been there. I've experienced that wearing out. The Bible talks about something, and it talks about suffering, and it talks about difficulties, and it talks about trials. It's found throughout the New Testament dozens of times, the same word, thlipsis, translated as persecution, as trouble, as suffering. And Jesus himself tells a parable in which faith falls away because of suffering. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, in the parable of the sower, verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and receives it with joy. And then verse 21, but since they have no root, they only last for a short time. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. What are we saying today? We're saying this. Tribulation makes us lose heart, and it takes our peace. Tribulation makes us lose heart, and it robs us of our peace. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because what? I have overcome the world. In Romans 5, verse 3, Paul speaks and says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Paul speaks again in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Trials, persecution, and suffering are hurtful and stressful, and not anything that any one of us want to go through in our life. Yet as a child of God, we will. We will. See, here's the thing about suffering. Suffering makes me want to quit. Makes me want to throw up my hands and surrender and throw in the towel. Suffering puts a pressing weight on each one of us. Trials can be emotional, spiritual, and physical in nature all at the same time. And you'll discover these trials and suffering actually impact every single part of our lives as we're going through them. And so in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, Paul wants to encourage the believers in their faith in the midst of trials and doesn't want them discouraged, even though he and his companions, including Timothy, had suffered trials and hardships in their lives. See, understand this. When it comes to afflictions, that's the biblical word. When it comes to afflictions and trials and troubles and tribulations and hardships and suffering, which we all have to go through, there are many, many misunderstandings regarding these things, and every single one of them are interrelated. If I say to you today, and if I asked you to agree with me, would you agree with me on this one? We believe that God is good. Amen. If I ask you to agree, would you agree with this? That God is holy and just and kind. We would. That God is powerful. That God is the Almighty Creator. We would agree. Would we also agree then, our God is in complete control of everything? So we believe that, don't we? And all of that is absolutely true. absolutely true, then logically we may start to believe or hope that if God is good, then bad things and evil and sin should not be present in our lives or even in this world because we believe that God is good. The misunderstanding is that if God is good, therefore bad things should not happen. So we believe God is good, and we believe in God, and we are children of God, we are believers. So some think this means that our belief puts us in a category of belonging and blessing and goodness from God, and therefore we should be somehow exempt from the trials, hardships, and tribulations of this life. And it seems logical, does it not? It seems logical to me. I believe in God. I serve Jesus Christ. I walk in the Spirit. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in His death on the cross. The misunderstanding is that if I belong to God, bad things should not happen to you. And then unconsciously, perhaps, we believe, do we not, that good things should happen to good people. And we believe that bad things should happen to bad people. Those who are bad and immoral and ignore God, God should not bless them. In fact, we believe God should discipline them until they come to that place of repentance. The misunderstanding is believing in good for good people and bad for bad people. I hope none of us really have this kind of mindset. Believing that when something bad happens to us or to someone else, there is always sin in their life to blame. Always. The misunderstanding in that statement is the word always. You see, when hardship comes, do we wonder what attitude or action or secret in our lives has caused God to remove His hand of blessing from our lives? For others, looking on the outside, tragedy therefore must mean there is a hidden sin somewhere in their lives, because tragedy is a judgment from God about our actions, our attitudes, and sin. The misunderstanding again is that bad things are always a punishment for sin. And we might say, after we've heard this today, well, hey, I don't believe those things. I know them to be wrong. So we can therefore quote Matthew 5, verse 45, which says that the sun rises on the evil and the good. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. We know the story in John 9, where the disciples ask about a man born blind, and they ask the question if the cause was his sin or was it the sin of his parents? And Jesus answers, hallelujah, that his blindness was not caused by sin or a lack of God's blessing. Amen. We know the entire book of Job, where we see a man lose his money, lose his house, lose all his children, his health, and yet he is most faithful to God. And then we see behind the scenes what happens and the reasons for his loss. So we might say, after we've heard all of these things and we're quoting these scriptures, that we do not believe these misunderstandings. And yet, listen to this. And yet, when we are angry at God for a tragedy in our lives, we buy into the misunderstanding. When we turn away from God because of a trial, when our action is to stop coming to church, when life is hard, what are we doing? We're buying into and believing the misunderstanding. When we stop talking to God because we do not like what God did on that occasion, we believe the misunderstanding. When we are disgusted, and let's not pretend we have never been so, when we are disgusted that an immoral person is doing well, we believe the misunderstanding. Understanding. When we think anything in life is bad or unfair, we believe the misunderstanding. Listen to this. When you and I, and let's not pretend we've never thought this way or had this attitude, when we try to guess someone's sin as they are suffering, come on. We, right there, believe the misunderstanding. This misunderstanding, if it is not present in my life or your life, it may actually be present with someone around you that you are trying to desperately lead to Jesus Christ. A good God. Hear this. A good God allows bad things. Is one of those hurdles that many people today state is their reason for not believing in Jesus. And it is a real tragic misunderstanding. To focus on the right understanding, we have to go back to 1 Thessalonians 3, which I believe for you and I today has got some very strong corrective thoughts for you and I. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way as well, you know. Hear this today. Faith does not mean we are exempt from affliction. No. Faith does mean that we may actually have more affliction than other people. How can I say that? How can I say that? Listen to Paul again in Philippians 1 verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so if there is a level of hardship and suffering that is common for all people, and I believe there is, because we live in a world filled with sin and its consequences, then becoming a genuine, real believer in Jesus Christ, hey, hear me today, just adds a layer. It just adds a layer that we have to deal with and top. Yes, on top of the difficulties we already would have to deal with. See, life in Jesus, for me, that I seek to be like Jesus, that should be the same for every one of us. Jesus suffered dreadfully, and so will we. And often, we will suffer as believers for the gospel. And that's particularly those who are on the front line. Those who are doing battle for souls, who are doing battles for other people every day. Often they will face the greatest hardships and difficulties on their Christian walk. You see, afflictions and suffering, it is a normal part of life. It is absolutely normal. Now, it's not fun, pretty much like this sermon this morning. It's not enjoyable, but when we understand, listen to this, when we completely understand that God is good and life in general is sinful and hurtful, it actually makes the Bible make more sense to us. It becomes clearer for every one of us. Back in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I set out to find about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might actually be in vain. Remember in Acts chapter 17, at the very start of this, I told the story of the 3 weeks the Apostle Paul had with the Thessalonians. Now, if you go back and read Acts chapter 17, you'll discover certain things in a 3 week period that took place. Listen to this. It involved worship. It involved discipleship. It involved joy. But it also involved persecution. It involved jail time, fines, extortion, and fear. In other words, this was a radically changing moment for this church in Thessalonica. It was a changing of soul-altering lives. 3 weeks. This was a phenomenal time that took place in this church. But notice in verse 5 that Paul was not even sure the church in Thessalonica would still be there. Would even exist. Why? Because afflictions bring temptations to walk away from faith. Hardships make us doubt. Suffering causes us to ask why. Trials steal our peace. These struggles and difficulties make us doubt our standing before God. Hear this today, church. I want you to understand, for you and I, as people of God, suffering is a normal thing. It's a normal way of life. We should also understand that suffering is absolutely an opportunity Satan will use to attempt to use for his advantage and for our faith to be completely obliterated, destroyed, and wiped out. Recognize today that in the half difficult seasons of life, there will be a temptation for every single one of us to walk away from our faith. It will be there. Nothing for pastors is more heartbreaking than to sow and to disciple and feed and invest in people and sit and watch them for a season of their life, and you almost know they are destined to do something great for God, but yet when hardship, trial, and difficulty comes, they suffer and they walk away from their faith and they walk out the door, and it is devastating. And we see it. And it leaves wounds all over the place. Another day. Here's what I want to say to you. What are we going to do when this is going on? And the only word I could think of this week was the word fight. So all the Spirit gave me was fight. Stand up, stand firm, fight it by recognizing the temptation and kicking it out of your heart. Fight it in prayer, even when you do not feel like it. Fight it by digging into Scripture, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Fight it by asking a fellow believer to listen and pray and encourage you, because church, hardship will come, and knowing beforehand that the temptation and the weariness will be there to stop reading the Bible, to stop praying, to stop coming to church, to be angry with God, to blame God, to cut faith-filled things out of our lives. Only then can we be prepared to ignore those temptations in suffering times. 1 Thessalonians, move on to verses 7 and 8. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, We were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8 of this chapter teach you and I a very, very beautiful and important thing. They teach us about leaning into faith in the midst of affliction. Praise God. Paul has already talked about avoiding the temptation to walk away from faith. So in the midst of trials, we are just not trying to maintain and avoid losing faith, but rather we step up. We are leaning now into faith, and even in the midst of hardship and difficulty and affliction, we are actually growing in faith in the middle of it all. Praise God. Romans 5, verse 3, 5. Love this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame, no sir, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you and I. Amen. Paul reminds us in Romans that in suffering and trials, you and I, because we are believers, have the opportunity to actually rejoice in suffering and add to our hearts endurance of faith, Christ-like character, a sure and firm hope in Jesus Christ, and then an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Praise God. I love what James said in James 1. It's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. Consider it pure joy. Not just joy, is it, William? It's pure Holy Ghost, unadulterated, untouched, untainted joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the perfect joy that casts out all fear. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Praise God. James reminds us that the testing in life for the believer, listen to this, perfects our faith. Amen. It pushes us to stand firm in our faith in the midst of the storms of life. Today, our encouragement is to remain faithful to the Lord. It is to stand firm even when the afflictions or storms, can we say, of this life come. Because our faith is perfected all the while, as it was for Paul. Our faith might also encourage others in our lives. We believe today God, every single moment of every single day, is working for our good in the midst of trials and suffering. We thank God. So today, standing fast. I love that phrase. Standing fast in the Lord means, right now, we ask the Holy Spirit to guard our hearts during trials. Standing fast in the Lord means we trust in the hope that Jesus gives during our times of hardship. Standing fast in the Lord means act in accordance with Scripture during seasons of affliction. Standing fast in the Lord means we find another way to love one another. Look at the end of this chapter, verses 12 and 13. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul finishes up chapter 3 by talking about love one for another. He talks about having a blameless, holy heart before God. You see, the love for one another and this blameless holy heart is in context of all of this suffering. One of the normal correct thoughts he offers when dealing with the afflictions and trials and tribulations is that believers in Jesus, when we suffer and when we deal with afflictions, we then need to break out of the strongholds that puts us in by doing what? By loving other people. By loving the family of God, by loving those who are unlovable by others, we will be tempted. Listen to this. We are going to be at some point, this is testimony, we'll be tempted to look inward. Stop doing. Stop going. Stop living. Stop giving. Decrease our activity. And all around, somehow get stuck in our hardship. Again, hardships press us. They press, they press, they wear us out, and we will be tempted to stay pressed and stay worn out. Paul says, to break out of the affliction and abound in love for one another, he says in verse 12, this is exactly how he deals with this. Paul says that he breaks out of the cloud of trials and hardships by then increasing his love for the people round about him. Beautiful. And the end result is Paul himself breaking out of the cycle that the afflictions put him in. By love. And God establishes in his heart blamelessness rooted in holiness in Jesus. And this is where we are. This is the challenge. This is the encouragement today. What am I saying? I'm saying for some perhaps today, maybe this very morning, you need to break out of afflictions by increasing your love for someone else. Maybe break out of your afflictions by looking outwards, and then God will pour blamelessness into your heart. Maybe for some, break out of your afflictions by looking outward, and God will pour His righteousness and His holiness into your heart. Perhaps maybe break out of afflictions by looking outward, and God will pour hope into someone's heart today. So in the midst of suffering, Paul offers thoughts to correct our misunderstandings about our afflictions in this life. You see, trials, church, are normal, but do not necessarily mean sin or punishment or discipline. Troubles will bring temptations to walk away from faith, which we must choose to fight against. Persecutions call us to stand firm in our faith in as many ways as we possibly can. And burdens may make us, cause us to turn inwards, but we break out of that by loving others. And so as we look over 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, do we see Paul himself? I wonder, do we see Paul? He talks in a way that is of a defeated manner because he is suffering hardships and trials. Do we see that Paul and the Thessalonians are without hope because of the hurting circumstances taking place in their lives? Is Paul down, downbeat, weary and struggling in faith because he is afflicted? I say no. To all of these things, everyone. And I say that overall, Paul rests in a promise that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardships, and the most uncomfortable parts of life, that God promises to be right by his side. And Paul believes that. And Paul rests in that. And that is exactly the same promise for you and I today. Let me finish with these scriptures. Psalm 34, verse 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Praise God. Psalm 119, verse 50. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promises preserves my life. Romans 8:28, and we know, hey, do we not, that all things work for good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also comfort abounds through Christ. The promise for believers in Jesus Christ is that even though suffering is normal and is even increased because we are believers, that we do not suffer ever alone. No, sir. We do not suffer alone like people who do not know God. God promises to deliver and save and give life and work for good and give comfort in the middle of the worst times of life. That is a guarantee. And that is a promise. Let me ask the worship guys to come back at this time. Just remain seated. Just close your eyes, sitting where you are. Hallelujah. I want you to stop in your tracks for a moment this week. Because maybe someone, I don't think maybe, I know certain people here are going through a season right now where you are hard pressed and where you are hurting. The Holy Spirit just prompting me just to give you time to consider what's been said. You might think I'm doing okay. But you know you've been wrestling and struggling and dealing with stuff for some time. All of what we spoke about today sounds almost harsh and cruel and difficult to comprehend. But then Paul talks about breaking out. He talks about standing firm. He talks about fighting the good fight. And so if you're here today, you know, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, when we've had times of response later on that day or the day after, where people come and say to me, pride got hold of me, Pastor. I knew I should have responded. I knew I should have stood up. I knew I should have come to the altar. Pride robs you of the blessing. Pride robs you of your breakthrough. Robs you of your joy. This today is a time set apart by the Holy Spirit for God to work. And the girls are going to lead us in a song today. And here's what I feel led to say. We're going to remain seated. But if this has been for you today, and you would like one of our prayer ministry team to come to where you are and pray with you, then you stand up. We will keep an eye for that. If it's for no one and there's no response, we'll move on from here. But let me tell you this. There will be no prayer at the cross at the end. This is your opportunity. Right here and right now. This is the time. This is the moment. This is the place. So as we are worshiping, if you're going through something right now, you feel a bit pressed in on all sides, I guarantee you, you respond to God today. He will show you the way out. He will touch your heart. He will touch your life. But resist, and you might just leave the same way you walk through the doors. So take this opportunity to be ministered to. We're not going to come and hang out with you for ages, don't worry. We're going to bless you. Pray the power of God over your life, that he would give you all you need to fight this fight and to win this battle. Let's worship God together. It's now over to the Holy Spirit in all his fullness. So be blessed, folks. In Jesus' name, amen.